With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. It's another edition of Alex McCarthy's Wrestling Daily here. Pretty in pink. Steph Chase is here. How are you doing, you. Steph?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm really enjoying this summer weather here in London. It's been really, really nice. I've been mostly living outside and it's been good. Yes, mostly living. I would literally sleep outside if that wasn't frowned upon.
I mean, or just unsafe in London, to be fair.
It is unsafe,
but
yeah.
You're right. I've seen on your Instagram you've been enjoying life. Steph's handle, of course, top right, is the same for Twitter and Instagram, I believe.
Yeah.
She's been enjoying the sunshine. I mean, you're like more Irish than me. How do I struggle in the weather so much? How does this happen?
I have no problems with sun whatsoever. I don't burn at all. I don't think I've ever had sunburn in my life, whether it be like in LA or Florida. Never experienced it. I can sit all day and be absolutely fine. So I guess I'm really lucky. Maybe that's why I love the sun so much. I can sit there and it's totally fine. I see other people burn and go red and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. Doesn't happen to me.
I legit put on like my kid's sun cream. It's like 50. And I'm like, please protect me. Please.
Oh my gosh, that's unfortunate. But yeah, I think if you follow me on Instagram for the next couple of months, it will be mostly outdoor sun pics if the weather holds up, because that is my favorite thing.
Indeed it is. Guys, thank you for joining us again for this Thursday edition of Wrestling Daily. But unfortunately, of course, we don't have Dynamite yet again. It's going to be me and Steph just talking about stuff. And we'll probably open up a Q&A again later on in the show. If you would like to get an Ultra Chat in, though, to dictate things a little bit, to tell us what we should talk about, or indeed give us a hot take, do send it to wrestletalk.com/wrestlingdaily. I thoroughly enjoyed having the big LG, Big Dick Daddy Dangler himself, Luke Gallows, on the show last night. You know, it seemed like
What a man. What an earring collection. I love it.
I think for those of you who are in the chat now that were at the show yesterday, it seemed like a renowned success. It seemed everyone enjoyed having him on the show. The guy is just so organically funny. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So, yes, yeah. A good time was had by all. You know what it is, though, Steph? Louis's been with me and a guest. SB3's been with me and a guest. When are we going to have our own guest?
We would need someone that's suitably good for Steph Chase to be on with a guest. Like, at the top, get me Brock Lesnar and I'll do it.
Oh, yeah, God.
Imagine, you and Brock, we talk farming as number one
crops,
topic.
Harvesting,
like,
sure.
Get him on and say, hey, man, don't want to ask you any wrestling questions. That's all been covered. This is now a farmer's show. And just please tell us all the secrets of farming and beard growth.
Yeah, I need. Yeah, yes, please bring back the beard. Then tell me about tell me about your shrubbery and crops. I need to know, Brock.
And then sneak in a civil question at the end. All good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Steph, your pink jacket is getting a lot of love, and let me tell you, I see the matching headphones and everything. My word.
The summer brings it out of me. What can I say? Farming daily, indeed.
Cyclone knows after I got their name wrong yesterday. So you have to remember, guys, get your Ultra Chat in if you want to take us in any particular direction. We do have some stuff to talk about, though, as you know by the title. Mark Henry, I believe, has been saying things to Renee Young. Paquette, I always do that. And, of course, Triple H had his conference call today. And let me tell you, Steph, were you not on it? Were you on it?
I had got like half of it and then I had to leave, but he was a bit.
He was feistier today, wasn't he? Yeah.
He was. There's some quotes coming out of that. The man is frustrated, I think.
Yeah. He was in some questions. He was like just waiting for like the whole, watch it or don't. Like, it wasn't even really relevant to the question, but it was just like, okay.
That's obviously such been, a terrible thing to say. Like,
I know. He'd obviously been, like, eager to say it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just, yeah. And to be fair, Dave Meltzer nearly spoke for as long as bloody Triple H did. His question went on forever. I was like, oh,
Dave
my
has
word.
That
like,
problem. Uncle Dave has that problem.
I was when he finished, I was like, I don't know what the question is. he had just spoken about releases and that was it. He didn't actually arrive at a question. And Triple H was like, yeah. And then did you see Dave's reaction as well to Triple H's answer? He was like, okay. It was so good.
This is why he's Uncle Dave. Like, he's a character. He's a character in our wrestling world that we need to have always.
I mean, to be fair, I actually felt like Triple H got off quite lightly in like the sense that no one really pressed him on like Velveteen Dream or anything like that. Like, or Drake Wurtz, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of them, isn't it? He could have had it a lot worse.
Yeah, I think people kind of get by now that you're not going to get anything out of that. As much as it should be asked, it's never going to be answered. So, yeah, I mean, I think for him, he was just going in there expecting a lot of questions about bad stuff that's happened to people from NXT. So he's just... I don't know. I felt like he didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. And he was just like, why the heck am I being put out here doing this when I don't get to do anything else anyway?
I thought like, you're right. I've tried to explain this to a friend the other day that you only get one question, right? Mm-hmm. And Triple H is like remarkably skilled at doing this sort of thing. Like, he is really, really good in giving you an answer, but it's like evasive and he takes you around the houses. Yeah. He's really, really good. So like, I remember when he was first asked about the Velveteen Dream stuff, this is when it first happened. Mm-hmm. And he gave that first answer, didn't he, where he was like, we looked into it, whatever. And then there were two or three follow-ups, but they got the same answer. In a roundabout way, it was still like, we looked into it, whatever. And he just got more and more irritated with every question. And and that's the thing, like, as a journalist, what are you trying to do in this call? Are you trying to, like, just to be seen to be doing the right thing? Or are you trying to actually get the best answers you can get? I understand where people come from sometimes on Twitter, where they're like, you should ask him this, you should ask him that.
Yeah,
but like, there's difficult, the setting makes it pretty difficult, right? And at this point, it's a recurring cast of people that ask the questions. We all know what he's like. So it's, you have to find a way to, you know, it's very difficult. Like, unless you had like a proper sit down with Triple H, that would be the time.
Well, he wouldn't answer it. But I sometimes feel
he'd find a way.
It should have been phrased as, once all the stuff about Velveteen, I love Penelope Pitstop.
That's a shout.
Thank you. That's a shout. Yeah, definitely. I sometimes think, like, once all the stuff came out about the Velveteen Dream, maybe I should have done it myself, phrased the question as, without going into any of the background, just, what value do you see in the Velveteen Dream? Because they kept him for so long, it'd be interesting to see how he would answer that question about a man that had so many allegations against him that was still employed.
Yeah, for me, I didn't get a question today. My line dropped out twice. And when that happens, it's like the kiss of death, right?
That's so frustrating, yeah.
Because then you have to get back in the queue. Like, obviously, people who haven't been on these calls don't understand this, but you have to, like, dial in. Then you have to do, like, the whole buttons to get in the queue to ask a question. So if you drop out, you're then starting again to get back in. It just doesn't, you know, I knew as soon as it dropped out the first time, I was like, oh, well, that's me done. But I was going to say, what are the actual reasons that you ended up getting rid of Velveteen Dream? Like, you know, because obviously you had a lot of time to think about it between allegations to now. I would imagine they just got to the point where they were like, his name's too muddy. That's what I think. They thought, people aren't getting over this like we hoped they would. And he's got to go. That's essentially what I think. But I would have liked to have heard from him. And I also kind of wanted to ask a little bit what Dave did ask, or said, where... You know, like, and Dave was kind of alluding to it, that people were good in NXT and then they go to the main roster and it doesn't work out. So it's like, okay, I actually thought Triple H's analogy of the NFL, although it's not perfect, it does have a resemblance, right? You come as a hot prospect from college, that'd be NXT. You get to the NFL, you're a high draft pick, but then the team doesn't use you right, you're not a great fit, or it's some of it's down to you. There's a multitude of reasons that obviously extend beyond that, but that kind of actually does make a bit of sense. And I think in that, Triple H was basically saying, like, we do our bit, but then what happens after? And I really wanted to ask him, like, how painful is it as someone who molds some of these talents? If I'm Triple H and I'm watching Aleister Black go, I'm thinking, what went wrong? I did my bit.
Prediction.
I don't know.
Vince sells WWE. Give it like 5 years. Triple H starts his own indie. And it's just going to be like NXT.
Yeah, he's going to
sell all his little guys. He gets full control and he just runs a little indie.
He's going to buy PWG. You heard it here first.
That's
basically what NXT is. I didn't ask that. I'm saying I would have if I didn't drop out of the call. It was either that or the Aleister Black question. It depends who had said what. But I fully expected Velveteen Dream to get asked in like the first couple of questions, and it didn't happen. So very surprised. But then again, as Steph says, everybody knows the answer that we were going to get from him anyway. So alas, let's get to the titular news, Steph. I'm going to let you take this on a little bit.
Because
I am a little bit. It's because it's AEW relevant. And Mark Henry, of course, was on Oral Sessions with Renee Paquette. Now, obviously, Mark has made the move over from WWE, and he's now going to be essentially in the Big Show role, but on Rampage. And he's going to act as a coach to AEW talent too. Now, the headline here is Mark Henry criticizes AEW. He does in a roundabout way, but it's constructive, Steph. What are you?
Yes.
Please relay to the people what he's trying to say.
So he's basically said that he thinks that there's too much repetition. So kind of like what's happening before with the dives and like the super kicks. But repetition is his own personal pet peeve. So he feels like he said, you're not watching the product if you go and do something someone else did the same thing. I love the Bucks doing super kicks. Why are there 3 matches on the card where someone does a super kick before them? If that was me, I'd be upset about it. Yeah. Mm. That's kind of not the criticism I would make. I don't mind if lots of people do super kicks. I think it's like, it's an odd criticism coming from Mark Henry. I don't want to sound like I'm being anti-Mark Henry, but like quite a limited wrestler. And now like you have these young guys that have like such a repertoire that you are going to see some repetition in their matches when you have like, you know, a Young Bucks match and then you have like people like Darby Allin and I don't know why Angelo's in my head, but whatever. So I think I would more say that when it comes to storyline stuff, where I'd have a problem with repetition rather than in-match stuff. So, I think that's more. Yeah. I think it's more like, why are you doing angles like with the Nightmare Family in the factory when we've got the Inner Circle Pinnacle War going on? Like, why are we having, you know, people turn on each other in the same show? Like, stuff like that more to me makes me feel like they need to look more at what's happening on each show and make sure you're not repeating stuff rather than the match stuff, which doesn't bother me.
I think, hang on. John Arias says, doesn't Mark's criticism kind of go hand in hand with Jericho's older criticism of a lack of communication between storylines? It's exactly that, really. Both of them are, you know, they've had that WWE mentality drilled into them. That's like, and to a degree, WWE is like, you know, the standard bearer in the business, or was. So, like, I understand that. You're there for decades. There's a certain way they do things there. You can understand where they're coming from. And it, and the criticism in some regards does have merit. You know, if every match, for instance, had super kicks in it, you'd be a bit like, well, you know, that's watered down a bit. But I haven't watched AEW yet and been like, oh, Jesus, this again, you know? So
it must be
in, you know, a nitpicky thing for him, and he'll know better than us. So fair enough.
I mean, he's been there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, there you go. And that's the same thing with what Jericho was saying. I do get it. Although, again, I know the example he used. I can't remember what it was now, but I remember at the time they had two things in the same show that were like similarly built. I understand. I still think for me, AEW, if we're talking fresh, they've only had one rematch in the history of Dynamite, like week to week. You know, they've only done that again. So, you know, if we're talking about not being repetitive, I mean, Raw could learn a thing or two. So I don't know.
Absolutely. And you know how much of a fan I am of AEW storytelling. And I feel like at least when I watch Dynamite, every single match, I'm like, I know the storyline that's going on. And I'm somewhat in different degrees of invested into it, but they're always presenting me with something. And it's not just repeat every week. It's not just like, I don't know, Darby Allin faces Miro, and then the next week they have a rematch, and then the next week they have another one just in case. You know, it's kind of, things are a lot better laid out.
That's WWE's idea of a feud, though, just a lot of matches rather than a story that gets you there, or even like, you know, even like a tag. That's what AEW do well as well. They like make it kind of like a warring thing where, okay, well, now this person's involved and now it's a tag next week, and then it's kind of ticks things on nicely. Somebody made a good point here and I want to find it. Scott Summers. Every WWE match has a distraction roll-up and it is annoying.
They're so annoying.
I would love to know the last week of WWE television that didn't have a distraction finish.
Yeah,
like it, and they have multiple a night sometimes. It's oh my word! And can they coexist storyline?
Oh, I hate that. I hate the distraction because it's so dumb. These wrestlers are so easily distracted. You'd think if you were in an actual fight, like that would be, you know, you're zero in it. You know when you see people in it, like if you saw two people actually brawling in the street and they're like at the point where like their friends can't even get to them to say like stop, and they're trying to like hold them back because they're so in the zone. In WWE, it's like they're so easily distracted. Like someone waves at them and they're like, oh my God, oh, I got rolled up. Like it's so bad. Makes them look so stupid.
I'm just imagining a street fight now and somebody comes along with their boombox and hits the music and someone's like, it's ridiculous. It really is. Like, there's way too many. But alas, there we have it. That's Raw for you. And like I said, the other thing as well is the can they coexist storyline. And it's, for some reason, it's with women. Like the obsession of making someone who's feuding, they have to tag them to then keep the feud going. It's mind numbing. I don't. But there you have it. WWE for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, at half past, we're going to start a Q&A with Steph and I, where you can ask anything you like in the live chat and we will get it cooking. It can be wrestling related. It can be, I don't know, weather related for Steph. I don't know. Whatever you want, we will touch on. So do get in touch with us. Steph, yes. NXT TakeOver this weekend. There has been... some critiques about the TakeOver card. Now, I would never be foolish enough to outright be like, oh, it's not going to be as good because TakeOvers are always good. But do you think this one is more underwhelming than most? And if not, I guess, what do you expect to be great?
I feel nothing for this TakeOver card. So yeah, like that's how I feel. Usually there's one or two matches that intrigue me. I feel absolutely nothing for this TakeOver card. I couldn't even tell you what match stands out for me as well. Like it feels so like samey, you know, Adam Cole returning. It's nice to see Adam Cole again, but like, okay, well, I guess he's trapped here forever. And then Io as well, like, you know, just kind of move on. So I don't feel anything for this TakeOver card. And even with the last one, I was into it. I can't think of anything that really excites me, even the championship match.
Yeah, I think I would have preferred if Adam Cole had come back and got into something else. Like, the Kyle O'Reilly win should have been really significant. Like, that should have then catapulted him into the main event picture or the world title spot, and then Adam Cole was kind of left behind. But really, what did their, you know, longest match in the world, what did that achieve for the winner? They're both in the same spot. What does it matter? That's, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I'm looking forward to the five-way just because I like every single person involved in the match, you know, Karrion Kross to the least degree. But, you know, Pete Dunne, I'm a huge fan of Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, like you can't, Johnny Gargano, can't lose with these guys. It's going to be great. It's just, you could have done more. You could have had Adam Cole in a feud with somebody else, really make the most of him as your big player. I think he just, you know, he's a one-on-one guy. I still think Pete Dunne is the guy.
Well, he could end up champion because I'm convinced now that like Cross is leaving, going up. So you bring Adam Cole back to keep him in NXT, move Cross up. I'm not convinced it's going to be a great match just because it is a fatal five-way. And I think it could be an absolute cluster of stuff, especially, no offense to him, with Karrion Kross in there. I think the other guys could be pretty solid, but then... like him being in there doesn't give me that much confidence in it. But I do think Karrion Kross is not long for this NXT world. And you're probably going to see the title on. I mean, it might give them too much credit to say Pete Dunne, because that would be the more interesting thing. Wouldn't surprise me if they just go back to Adam Cole.
Oh, I mean, I love Adam Cole, but I don't need to see him as champion again.
I don't need to see him in NXT ever again. I love Adam Cole. Like, get the F out. Like, he needs to go somewhere else. even if it's smacked.
We know what you're trying to say, Steph. We know. I think you're right though, when I think about it, because the Fatal Five Way is probably the best excuse. You know, I'm just looking at it from a WWE standpoint to get the title off Cross. They don't have to have someone defeat him and take his aura. But normally on the way out, they do that. Keith Lee on the way out for Karrion Kross, Matt Riddle for Tim Thatcher, which whatever. But this gives them an excuse to not have Kross pinned. And it's a bit like, I could see them doing it. I just don't know. I don't know where they go and who with. I really don't. I don't think Gargano, there's no logical reason why he would. O'Reilly or Dunn are the interesting options. But, you know, and then if Cross does go, maybe the next chapter of O'Reilly and Cole is for the title, which if O'Reilly comes out on top, I'm okay with. But, you know, they've got options. But if it's just a Karrion Kross retention to look super strong again, that's I will be like,
that is the worst outcome, though. Like, to set up a five-way, which, in my opinion, is a pretty ridiculous match. So to set it up just to have Karrion Kross retain, when the only reason, in my opinion, you would ever do a five-way is to have the champion not get pinned but lose, then to do it just to make him look like this monster that dominates all your, you know, great NXT guys, that'd be so tragic.
I mean, the end of NXT on Tuesday, or, you know, the segment with all five men, before Cole came back, I was like, oh, my God, because Kross had just dominated them all. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm finding it very hard to get excited about this if Kross is running through everyone. And then Cole came back and kind of made it a bit exciting. But there is that little, I guess, concern in me that it is all about Kross. And he is still, if you said to me, like, you have to put money down on who's going to win on Sunday, it probably will be him.
Do you think Triple H likes Karrion Kross?
Or do I? Just a little bit, yeah.
Do you?
I mean, do you?
I feel like Triple H, maybe I'm giving Triple H too much credit, which is not something I usually do. I feel like he doesn't like Karrion Kross, and he's been told, like, oh, we need Karrion Kross to go through this system to make him our big Raw guy. And Triple H's just like, oh, but I had this really good technical wrestling indie fed going on here. You know, and I've been given this person, like, why? I don't know. I think he'll miss him less than he would other people if he goes the main roster. I don't think he has... You know, he won't miss him, really.
1,000%. 1,000%. It was pretty defensive of him on the call today, right? I can't remember who asked the question, but somebody basically said about, you know, critiques of him, and he was pretty fierce in his defense of Kross, saying, you know, what he brings to the table and everyone's different, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go into it again. I've made it clear my feelings on Karrion Kross. I don't think he's bad or anything. I just don't dig the presentation at all.
Unbeatable
Karrion Kross is not for me. There you have it. Guys, remember, 3-minute warning here. See what I did there, Steph? 3-minute warning till 5:30 to give us the Q&A to start getting your questions in at the 5:30 mark, and we will get off to the races there. Before then, Steph.
It's a Q&A, not HLA.
No, I mean, unless you've got a trick up your sleeve, Steph. No.
Sorry, you made the 3-minute warning. You started it.
Well, I mean, sure. Now you've got me all Bischoff-y. David Evans has given us an ultra chat. He says, hi, Alex and Steph. Hi, David. Not wrestling related. Okay. But Alex, with Euro 2020 kicking off tomorrow, what will happen next Friday and the following Tuesday when England play at 8 p.m? Will you be on the show those nights, or will you get someone to cover for you? David, that's a very good question. I haven't confirmed this with anyone, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say I will not be doing the show if England are playing. Sorry,
oh my
Steph.
God.
I, I know. There's not much more I care about in the sporting world than England in the major tournament. And that's been very painful to me down the years. But we're not doing the show tomorrow because we're kind of revamping, but we're getting a new slew of co-hosts in on the Friday, right? We're going to like line up our guests. So people are going to know in advance who we're having on the show. It's not going to be just week of anymore where we say, okay, this person's on. There's going to be like a schedule. You guys are going to know who's coming up. We're going to get stuff sorted out and there's going to be pre-stuff. It was a whole thing we discussed this week. So tomorrow there is no Wrestling Daily, but in terms of what is going to be moving forward, hopefully there's going to be some synergy with who's on Quizlemania may make the move over to also be with us on the Friday. And there's going to be some other like YouTube influencers. Hope, you know, Adam Blompier I've extended the invite. He needs to get back to me on that one. He's giving me the Triple H AJ Styles treatment. But we are basically, you know, recalibrating, I don't know the word, how we're going to do the guest hosts on a Friday. I hadn't actually thought about England playing at 8 p.m. until you just said this. So it's something I'll have to think about. I might even move the time of the show. I don't know.
Wow. Well, guess who's not watching England?
Steph, listen, I'll give you the extra work if you want it. You can have it.
What days are they playing?
Next Friday. No, not next Friday. They play this Sunday. Yeah, I think then it is. Then it is Friday and then Tuesday. Did I just make all of that up? I don't know. Anyway, it's Croatia this Sunday. That much I do know. We Irish didn't make it, Steph.
No. Wouldn't be watching anyway.
Yeah, you could still at least give token. Come on, the boys. No, I can't even do that.
I can't even do that.
What we got here? Who just said I hate football? I saw it in the chat. I saw it.
Me.
Yeah, probably. Probably was. I can't believe no one lets on to HLA on Q&A night, Steph. You've done really well.
They don't know.
Adam hates football. Wow, Adam Pearson.
Wow.
Oh, my word. That's actually a very good idea. Forgotten Wonders Rubex. The anonymous Wrestling Daily guest host. Yeah, that'd be great. Because it worked out so well. WWE. The first question in the Q&A, we're off to the races, guys. Get your questions in. Zakir Hussein says, question, what would your ideal dream SummerSlam card? I mean, are we doing a full card here? I think we should just do like, you know, some matches. I've said this on Twitter. I think you have to run it back between Sasha and Bianca. You have to run it back. But I wouldn't be opposed to Bayley being involved in there as well. Little triple threat, make it a bit different. But I also think there's magic in Bianca and Sasha alone. So, not sure. I think Cena and Reigns is pretty much done and I'm okay with it. Rollins and Edge would definitely be where I go to next, just because the story is there. Lesnar and Lashley. Like, if you have Brock Lesnar, you have to give him to Bobby Lashley right now. You have to. Like, it's the match that everyone's spoken about for years for a multitude of reasons. I'm not going to go over it again, but the whole MMA aspect, the build of the two, the freak athletes that they are, there's literally hardly anyone like them on Earth. They're both in the same company at the same time, shape of their lives, legitimate backgrounds and all of that great stuff. But more importantly than all of that, Lashley has never been more fitting to be an opponent for Lesnar than he is now. If it happened before, Steph, we would have been a bit like, Lesnar will run through him. This is the first time where it's like, wow, Lashley is actually being presented in a way where Lesnar Lashley feels like a big time matchup. So I think those four have to be locks.
Mm-hmm. I'm really struggling to think of anything else. I do like all your ideas. I'm really down for Cena Reigns. I know some people aren't, and they're like, we've seen this. We haven't seen this. It's a new Roman. We haven't seen this.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool. I think Lesnar and Lashley, absolutely. I think it's a big deal for Lashley, and I think he deserves that a lot. I would put Bayley in there with Sasha and Bianca, just because I think she really has something to add to it. It'd be good to see her interacting with Bianca more. I think it'll make the match more interesting than just another rematch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we're probably going to get Mysterio's Usos, I would assume, at some point, perhaps. You know, that'll probably be an extension of what we're going to get of Roman and Rey at Hell in a Cell.
Drew,
that's a very good question. What does Drew do after Lashley? Wow.
Yeah.
Because Drew's got history with Lesnar as well, which would make sense. But I want Lashley to just have Lesnar before you get to that.
I was just about to say,
you run it back with them, or they become the tag team they kind of tease doing. You know, that's a way to keep him out, because you do need to keep Drew away from that picture for a while, I think. So that could be a good idea. I think it's probably going to be Rhea and Charlotte. And I know the story is not going great at the moment, but a big win for Rhea against Charlotte one-on-one with like no bells and whistles would be very big for her, I still think. Mm-hmm. So that could be one thing. I mean, Sheamus is the US champ right now, actually. So thinking about it, not sure how that goes. And Apollo's still Intercontinental. I'm not sure how that works out. Big E's off TV at the moment. Don't think they should run that back again. They had a lot of matches, even though I love Big E. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens.
It'll be Karrion Kross and Drew.
That actually would
be
very
good. Too big, guys.
I do think that they're still going somewhere with Sami Zayn and Kevin. And I do still want them to be a tag team at some point. I don't think it's going to happen in the near future. Like, I think if they didn't win the tag belts in their WWE run, that'd be a shame. It would be a shame. But yeah, they're still doing something with those two. So hopefully they get maybe the proper build and match at SummerSlam that they should have got at WrestleMania, because they had a short build then sprint, which was still very good, by the way. But it was more like, oh, we've got nothing else for you two to do. Here you go. I'd rather they actually get a proper thing. So let's see how that works out. They'll probably end up just doing a multi-man with them two in it for the IC title. I don't know. Adam Pearson says, which wrestler would you most like to make you a sandwich and why? I've actually got an answer for this.
Go.
Have you seen Baron Corbin cook?
No.
I think that man would make me a killer sandwich. He is amazing. Amazing with steaks and beef and, you know, not one for the vegans for sure, but Baron Corbin on the grill is great. He can make me a sandwich anytime. There you go. What about you, Seth?
Finn Balor, because he's Irish, he's from Bray, and I think he would make a nice sandwich with actually good ham in it.
Ooh, this sounds strange. I'm a big ham. I'm a big ham guy, right? Yeah. And you're right, Irish ham's great.
Irish ham.
I'm extremely particular about my ham. Like, my missus gets like anxiety because she'll come back from the supermarket, and I'll look it over, and I'll be like, "What the hell is this? What the hell is this?" But so, she's got to the point where she's really good at it now. She knows exactly what I like. But I'm particular, damn it! Don't come back with budget ham. Ishak says, "Question: do you think Brock Lesnar should have a storyline with Bobby Lashley or with Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman? There's room for both, right?"
Yeah, right now, Bobby first.
Yeah. You can get to, you know, if he beats Bobby, which I presume he would, then that makes Survivor Series a lock, right? You got your two champs, Paul Heyman in the middle.
I think we laid out the entire way they could do this last week, getting, you know,
we did.
Brock, eventually to Brock and Roman. So, yeah, but give him Bobby first.
Go back and watch last week's show, and Steph will lay it out for you wonderfully. Miro J says, question, will Miro kill Evil Uno on this week's Dynamite? I mean, it's possible.
Of course, Miro J. Miro will crush Evil Uno. And I love Evil Uno, but Miro's crushing that.
Yeah, he absolutely is. What's your favorite SummerSlam event or match? Ooh, man.
Can I go first? Can I go first?
Yeah.
SummerSlam 1998 is my favorite pay-per-view of all time. So that's my favorite SummerSlam event.
Highway to Hell.
Highway to Hell. And my favorite match is The Rock versus Triple H ladder match. So easy. SummerSlam.
That's a great shout. That is a great shout. I'll give you that. I also think Michaels and Triple H in 02 is a shout. That's a great match. That's my probably favorite event, 02. I think they had, is it Angle Mysterio as well? Like, there was just loads of great stuff on that show. Do you know what? I was at SummerSlam 17, I think. The main event of Strowman, Reigns, Lesnar, and Joe was really, really good. Like, really good. That show wasn't amazing, but that main event was so good. The best use of all four of them I've seen in a long time. Very, very good. Hector Rodriguez says, to bring Punk back to WWE, what would Vince have to do? Jesus Christ, that's a layered question. You know,
I think
what,
nothing,
Steph,
is Punk.
Yeah, that, well, there you go. That's the short answer. I don't know if there's anything he could actually do. From studying CM Punk answers over in this question for the past couple of years, you think one thing and then it changes. At one point, I was convinced that I was like, well, he wants WWE over AEW. I really believe that. I thought he's holding out. He still wants that big Mania main event that he always wanted. And if WWE could come up with the money and the plan to get him to the Mania main event, and Vince is willing to kiss and make up, there you go. It could happen. You get Triple H and Stephanie McMahon giving like the stock answers of, yeah, well, you know, we're open for discussions. What Punk has consistently said is they have to come to him. They have to give the idea to him. And I am not convinced anyone in WWE wants to do that at all. As much as it makes sense to the rest of us, like, wow, you know, CM Punk with this guy or CM Punk here would be great. I'm not sure that WWE feel the same. And Punk's not motivated enough to go looking for it either, right? So it's a difficult one. And then on top of that, Steph, you've got AEW, who have openly said, you know, Cody's even spoken about this with me. They've had the negotiations with Punk and he wants a lot of money because obviously he knows his worth. And again, that's kind of indicative. Yeah, you're willing to pay it if he really wants to do it. Does he really want to do it? There's so many facets to this CM Punk equation that I think a lot of people have to take into consideration.
I also think, though, that this period in life right now is the like most I've thought that Punk may return to wrestling in some form. I think that he finds it easier to talk about now. I certainly found that when I interviewed him a couple of months ago, like we even had a little bit of a laugh about him being asked wrestling questions and he was so sweet about it. And also he's done the show Heels, which actually put him back in the wrestling ring. And he's going to be a character in that. And I think the experience for him of that, of being back in a wrestling ring, was a very positive one. And I think he's kind of more open to things now than he would have been before. But I don't think he'll ever go back to WWE. I think he could do AEW, but like a limited contract where he appears. Or I think he could do something more out there, like a New Japan match or something like that. But I think now it's... this is like the best place he's been in with wrestling since he quit wrestling.
Yeah, like you, like, you know, you'll never get full-time CM Punk again. That's never going to happen. You might get a program, you know, he might come in and do a little bit, or he might have a one-off or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I could see that in AEW. You know, there are, if you search Google, there are screen caps of Tony Khan talking on forums back in the day, and CM Punk is like his favorite wrestler, right? CM Punk is his guy in the Ring of Honor days. I don't think Tony's made any secret about that he'd love to have CM Punk. So if that situation would arise, I don't doubt he would do it. It's just a case of the stars aligning, because Tony books his show so well. It's not as if he's left a slot open, go, well, CM Punk might say yes, right? So we'd have to see how that plays out. For WWE, again, like, if That what I said earlier doesn't sound inconceivable, but I don't see it happening either. I don't see Vince and whoever sitting down and going, yeah, we want CM Punk for the main event of WrestleMania. I don't see that. They would far more, rightly or wrongly, look at who they've got, their guys, and they'd go, yeah, you know, we're good. We're doing fine. It's going to be great like this. There's just a lot of things that would have to happen. And the first of all would probably be WWE coming to CM Punk and offering an olive branch is one thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, borderline groveling, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I would love to see it. I'd love to talk myself into it, but I can't. I really can't. AEW is most likely. I'll say that. Question. If you have WWE Raw creative control right now, what changes would you make?
Everything on Raw. Everything. Especially what's happening to Shayna. It's a terrible show right now. That ending was abysmal that they would do that to her. What a waste of talent, athleticism, legit fighting skill. Disgusting. So I'd change everything. Everything about that show is bad. Sorry.
Every it's single thing.
Terrible.
I must say, with Steph, like, you know, maybe I'm not as harsh as that, but Raw is not a good show. There's a lot of talent on there that I like. A lot of the wrestling is fine. The stories are bad, like really bad. I can't remember the last story on Raw. I can't remember the last story on Raw that I legitimately was like, you know, captured by. Whereas SmackDown's had a fair few over the past few months, be it, you know, Big E and Apollo I was into, the Tribal Chief, obviously. Banks and Bailey was amazing when it was going on. They over the last sort of 6 to 8 months, I feel like SmackDown's always had a hot story keeping it going, or
definitely.
You know. Whereas Raw, over the 3 hours, I just you know, if you ask me creative control, the first thing I would do that I always loved about my favorite time in wrestling is like everyone had a story. You don't need to just have you know, rematch after rematch. That bothers me. I think stables are like a dead art in WWE that AEW have actually mastered pretty well. And that is a way, and this was the thing in the Attitude Era when there was a lot of stables as well. It's a way to get to more matches and further stories. Things can happen outside of the ring, you know, like in terms of video packages and whatnot. I feel like WWE have got really lazy with like, well, you know, this feud's going on. What's going to happen this week? They're going to interfere in their match and there's going to be a distraction. Oh, is there? Okay. Like, and they just keep doing that and that, or they make them the tag team that can't coexist. It's just very linear.
Yeah.
I hate to just sit here and shit on Raw, but at the same time, there's a lot of talent I love on that. Yeah. There's a lot of talent I love on that roster and I feel sorry for them because they haven't been put in a position to succeed.
And I also think, like, God help that women's division, because with Alexa doing this female Fiend character, she will run over that women's division. And yeah, the Fiend kind of did it with the men, but there are enough men, enough guys' storylines, enough guys' titles for that to be like a little side thing. They're going to destroy that women's division completely. And they start it with their legit fighter. And God help everyone in that women's division, because if this goes ahead with Alexa doing a female Fiend, Rhea Ripley will be next and they'll destroy her too. It's bad.
Go on.
It's just like you have a women's revolution and you pretend like you're so doing these great things for women. And like, this is what you're putting your women's division through now. The women's division that you've totally like decimated anyway. It's so bad.
Yeah, I think how I get it that they see Alexa as valuable, and you know she is. It's just the character and the story stinks. I said this on Twitter.
This character.
I think she has done amazingly well to perform what they're asking her to do, but the story around it is awful. So, what can you do? You know, if you've got that roster, how are you not doing like a story with Shayna and Asuka? How are you not like letting them do their own thing and having these great matches? And, you know, and then you've got Asuka and Rhea, let that story develop. And Naomi is kind of just, there's a lot you could be doing. I just feel like for some reason in WWE with women's storylines, they center around titles and nothing else. But there you go.
Yeah.
Ishak also says, which WWE legend do you think will go to AEW? Maybe Kurt Angle, someone like that I could see.
Yeah, I could see a Kurt Angle. I think we're a bit full up right now with legends.
Yeah.
But I could see a Kurt Angle or Bret Hart doing more. I know he like presented the title, but something like that.
It's funny you say that, Steph. Forgotten Wonders Ubek says, question for Steph, can you do Bret Hart's pose?
No.
It's a no. You didn't pay for it, so you can't make her do it either. So there you go.
Never in my life did I thought I'd think I'd be asked that.
What are the odds Jay leaves Roman to join back up with his brother, says Hector? Low.
I want to see them as a great trio, not like in trios matches, but like people just getting destroyed by Roman and the Usos, and the way you could like weave them both into a world title and tag title storyline and get like some kind of great epic feud going that ends at a big pay-per-view with the Usos also losing their titles. Oh, it'd be so good.
Brandon says, where do you see AEW in 10 years?
Top of the world.
Look at your face. Look at your face light up.
Top of the world. With a wonderful Irish woman just really helping them out.
You're going to be like the Alicia Atoot of AEW. Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah. I'd go more like, yeah, or Renee Young when she was, you know, do a bit of everything.
Prime Renee, sure. Yeah, I see them going from strength to strength personally. Like,
yeah,
as long as there's nothing, as long as their infrastructure doesn't particularly crack or anything, I don't see any reason why the good times won't continue. I think the upward trajectory is great. I've got no qualms. I remember a lot of people being like, oh, I don't know how long it'll be around for. And, you know, once the elite are maybe out of the ring, like, you know, what's that going to look like? I've got no worries. I think AEW is doing really good. Philip says, do you think people would cheer Cena in a match versus Reigns after his heel turn on Taiwan? I'm sure there are people that care about what he said. I don't think it's going to be the vast majority, though, that would go to a show like, you know, F John Cena. I don't see it.
No. John Cena.
I mean, Cena's divisive.
John Cena. Yeah. He's got to get the same reaction every time. But yeah.
I do think it'll probably be more fond this comeback just because people have had a chance to miss him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a section of fans. You see it on the internet now. There are a section of them that kind of appreciate it now that he's gone. Not that they want him to. Yeah, not that I want him to come back. Ooh, don't do that. My charger's very delicate. But yeah, I think in terms of Cena and where he goes next, this match makes all the sense for Reigns if that's what he's going to go through, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm so bright.
Is it? I was going to say, is a helicopter about to land on you?
No, yeah, it's. My missus wants to get out to the garden. I'm like right by the door. Okay, so it just goes,
I'm doing the knots.
There you go. Anyway, moving along. Question from Asempa, I'm assuming. Question with Chris Jericho's AEW deal almost up. I'm guessing other AEW wrestlers' deals will be coming up as well. Who do you think will be the first AEW name to make the jump to WWE? I think... BB. Who's that?
Yeah, I know. I'm racking my brain. BB. Yeah, I've said before who I think will be the first.
Anyway, who do you think?
I think MJF. and I've gotten heat for saying that. I think MJF will be the first guy to jump.
Yeah, I actually, and I don't know whether like I'm just being worked by the comments he said in the interview, but I do think he could be lured if WWE were like, you're going to be a top guy for us.
Oh, Britt Baker?
I could be wrong, but I do.
It's
Britt
BB.
Baker. No, I think
Britt
the
Baker.
No,
she'll never leave.
No,
she's so happy.
I would see Adam Cole going that other way rather than Britt Baker going to join Adam Cole. I would see Adam Cole joining. You know, he's got a vast history of everyone there. Britt Baker loves Tony Khan and Shivani. Like, she loves them.
Stories. Like, she has heard how bad it is over there and how lucky she is. So she'll be the last person to jump, but I think MJF.
Yeah, no, MJF is a smart shout. Khalil says, everyone says Roman Rock is at the end game with Roman Cena and Roman Lesnar along the way. But man, if Jacob Fatu showed up, ooh, that would be huge. That would. You know, we're talking about MLW's Jacob Fatu, of course. And, you know, he's obviously part of the lineage. I met him at StarCast, actually. Yeah. Double or Nothing weekend, he was there with all the guys. And, yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a great part of the story. Almost, you know, that would be a great stable where he's like your Randy Orton in Evolution. You know what I mean? Where he's like the young prodigy and he's learning under Roman, who'd be like the Triple H equivalent, I guess. I think that would be cool. I don't know if like the end game would be Jacob Fatu, Roman at WrestleMania. You know, that's got to be Rock Roman. Has to be. Nothing bigger than that.
Yeah, I agree. He'd be a really great addition, but he's certainly not any kind of end game. I think an end game needs to be The Rock, like someone they bring in that everyone knows that we're waiting for, not an unknown guy.
Yeah, absolutely indeed. Who else have we got going on here now? Big time Chase in the building. That was for the CM Punk reference, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of like, what would you do to fix WWE? Basically, there's a lot of that. Steph, what's your favorite pizza topping by Felicia 24G?
Well, I used to go for a half and half, so I would get a half pepperoni and a half just ham and cheese. Like, keep it simple. But
yes,
but then like there has to be garlic dip. So I've literally phoned restaurants when they haven't bought me garlic dips. So the main thing is the garlic dips, but yeah, pepperoni and ham.
My missus goes crazy for the garlic dips. I get robbed as soon as it comes. I don't, you know, that's fine. But I said yes because ham is my favorite, Steph. I just have ham and cheese. Nice. That's my favorite pizza as well.
Nice.
So there you go.
Pizza.
I told you we don't lie to people. We love ham. right. What we got? Greg Cherry with the Louis shout. Oh, wow. What else have we got? there's some good ones about Britt Baker joining WWE, which won't happen. I really don't. Unless, again, they made someone a big offer to come in and be their number one guy. I just don't see why you would leave AEW. Money's good, less schedule. Unless you got paid like big WWE bucks. They would have to really go out on a limb. Wow. Keith says, okay, AEW fantasy booking time. MJF versus Mark Henry, anyone? I'd pass.
Big time pass. Yeah.
Not for me.
No.
Guys. I must say, on the fantasy booking of MJF, Steph, do you have a particular person in mind for him? Because I think Jericho was the one for so long, but we haven't had like a MJF Omega. I know that they're both heels, but we haven't had anything like that because he's had obviously Moxley, who, I mean, if I had to fantasy book for me, I think it would be the Wardlow feud, but
yeah,
you know,
I think that I don't think he's ready for Omega, to be honest. I'd put him against Darby and do a really good feud between him and Darby, where I think he can do more of his mic stuff, kind of really talk down Darby, and they can have a brutal match as well. And I think if Wardlow is still in the equation, a bit of Wardlow and Sting interaction certainly wouldn't hurt anyone. And it'd be very good. And maybe Wardlow could turn at the end of this feud, because MJF being horrible to Sting just breaks his heart. And it turns out Wardlow's a massive little stinger. This is a great storyline. Right. I've got to write this down.
Yeah, there you go. Wardlow's the little stinger. There you go.
Yeah.
Scott Summers, too, was with AEW, wasn't she? She's been with MLW for a while.
No, she did like one or two shows with AEW, but she wasn't like contracted.
So did Chris Van Vliet, right? I'm sure I saw that he was elite at some point. I'm sure I did.
He was on early shows too. Yeah.
I remember Alicia got locked down by MLW though. I can't remember when, but she's like under contract.
Yeah, basically. She is. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Ooh. MJF Samoa Joe, says Paul Dead. Deary me.
We need Samoa Joe first. But yeah, that'd be
cool. Well, that leads me on to this. Greg Cherry Brand says, seriously though, who do you think should be the next Joker in the next Casino Battle Royale? Of course, this is a valid question, because by the time the next one comes around, a lot of 90 days release clauses will have expired.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's women's, isn't it? So Heidi Lovelace.
It's got to be, isn't it? That's the obvious one.
It has to be. Yeah.
What if it was Lana and she came out and she wiped the floor of everyone?
No. That'd be an interesting turn.
Right. I mean, Jesus, we have reached the climax of the show. Just like that. The questions have flown by. I will do one more if I can find a good one. Let's see what Jim says here. Oh, John, sorry. Do you guys think the drop in ratings for AEW will significantly hurt the product once it's back on Wednesdays? I don't. Steph?
I don't think it will significantly hurt, but I do think that last week's Dynamite was one of their worst shows, which is saying something, because their shows are usually great. So saying worst feels like too strong a word, but it definitely was not a good Dynamite. And I feel like with the Friday ones so far, it's as if they kind of know they're not getting that live viewership, but at the same time, I don't think they're really booking it to be as good as the Wednesday night ones, which I think is a bad idea, because so many people are going to be watching it on demand and stuff, and you don't want people to think, well, this isn't worth watching. And then it's going to be, because do you ever get when you take a break from a show for a couple of like episodes and then you end up never going back? That's happened to me many times with Coronation Street. I wouldn't want it to happen to any AEW fans. So I hope this Friday's one is really, really good.
Yeah, I think the Wednesday shows, you know, I've said this a long time, I think Dynamite was the best show in wrestling, with SmackDown kind of a close second to me for a while. The weekend shows, I know they've got Jungle Boy Kenny coming up. That's kind of what, you know, one of the headliners of their show. I just think it's a bad idea in the first place to move the show. You know, Raw doesn't move. And I know it's different networks and it's not like Tony's choice. This will be the network that says, we think it's better here, well, we've got this and whatnot. I just think it'd be better for everyone if they didn't move the show around. Just take the hit. It wouldn't be that bad, but people need to know where to find you. The whole moving around stuff. It's not for me.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's
alas.
Not for me. It's way too late on a Friday. Like, it's way too late. And it's very hard then watching it on a Saturday morning. It's sad. And now, legit, like, it's hard for me to know what day it is, because I spent at least 2 hours this morning planning my day thinking it was Wednesday. And then I realized it was Thursday. So, and that, I blame that on Dynamite not being on.
I would exclusively blame that on Dynamite. How dare they? last question is, do you think Tommy End is going back to WWE? I don't know if it's imminent. I wouldn't be surprised, though. And he's certainly not burnt his bridges, which is probably telling. You know, he's kept himself perfectly on side. And obviously, there's the rumours that Tia might be going back. It would be Zelina Vega, which I think is twofold. He doesn't want to harm her chances at all, so he's not going to say anything too outlandish. And also, he obviously wants to keep that bridge there. If I was him, and I'm not, obviously, but I would be really cautious of going back if one of the main complaints of yours was the broken promises. That won't change, Alistair. That won't change. What do you think, Steph?
I think that he is going back, and I really hope he goes back. If you'd asked me immediately when he got released, where would I like to see him? I would have said AEW, since hearing him speak endlessly, Tommy, no end to how much he will talk in the past couple of days. Don't want him anywhere near AEW, and he can go back to WWE and sit in his room and keep quiet. And yeah.
Ah. Oh, Thomas. All right. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us on this Thursday edition of Wrestling Daily. I've been Alex McCarthy, of course. That is the lovely and wonderful Steph Chase, who is not done for the week. She has her YouTube show. Steph, tell the people where they can find you, apart from your handle on the top right, which, of course, is for your Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah. Go find me on YouTube at Stephanie Chase Wrestling. And yeah, there will be an AEW weekly, just not sure of the time yet, because not only do I not know what day it is, but the move to Friday has ruined me doing a show on Friday, so that now I have to keep scheduling it for different days until we go back to Wednesday. So yeah, I check my Twitter for when the next show is.
Remember, guys, no Wrestling Daily tomorrow, but we will be back with the full complement next week. I will keep you updated on who is doing what as I figure it out. Until then, thank you so much, guys. We'll see you on Tuesday here. I'll be back for my radio show Monday. And remember, you can catch Steph on YouTube tomorrow. Take care, guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Some people take the straight path in life, but at Arizona State University, we respect your twists and turns. They make our online students more driven to excel in their professional lives. That's why our personalized suite of services empowers you with innovative resources and staff that sticks with you. Make your next turn with one of our 300-plus programs at ASU, ranked in the top 5 for best online bachelor's programs. To learn more, visit asuonline.asu.edu.